Quaker Meeting in Portland, Oregon.
You can find more information about our community at westhillsfriends.org.
As a Quaker community, we encourage everyone to share from their hearts,
especially as it pertains to God's leading in their lives.
These words are shared into a community that values the opportunity to respond and dialogue about what is said.
The responses and dialogue are not included in this recording.
The views expressed in this content are solely those of the original contributor
and do not necessarily speak for the entire West Hills Friends community.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
As a person with ADHD, I have come to accept that some things aren't for me. One of them is cultivating and sustaining a sourdough culture. A decade ago, I said some friends, I almost didn't want to say their name because I was worried they were going to be on and they'll be so ashamed that I'll just say some friends from the Meeting House gifted me a portion of their sourdough starter, sharing its long family history passed down from generation to generation. My task was to feed the starter with flour and water while it was stored in the refrigerator. Now, I don't know if you know this about people with ADHD, but most of us have an out-of-sight, out-of-mind disposition. Eventually, leftover containers and condiments that rarely get used obscured the sourdough starter. Weeks passed, and by the time I rediscovered it, a pool of fermented liquid had settled on top, and the whole concoction had a bluish-green hue. I had killed it by neglect, a familiar death for people with attention issues like me. Since then, friends have offered me their sourdough starter. I've accepted a few times, only to fall into the same patterns of refrigerator neglect. At least for now, I will leave the sourdough baking to more neurotypical folks. In the Godly Play Classroom, the story of God's people held captive by Pharaoh and their rapid exodus across the parted Red Sea emphasizes the unleavened bread. Here are the words used in the story following the news that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go. The Godly Play text says, "The people began to hurry to get everything ready. They packed all they could carry, and they baked bread for the journey. There was no time to put leaven in the bread and let it sit so it would swell up and get big and puffy like the bread you buy in the store. It was flat." On this Sunday, the storyteller has a basket of matzah, and at this point shows the children the thin crackers and says, "You can still eat this bread today. It is called matzah. Whenever you taste it, you can still taste this story." Whenever this story is told, our children remember this part the most. "Papa, they didn't even have time to make bread before they had to leave, so this is what they took with them." It is likely that the use of fermented yeast cultures, established by allowing flour and water to remain exposed to open air, was the primary method of bread baking back for the Israelites. Knowing the logistical challenges of bread baking using a starter allows me to feel the frenzy of God's people needing to pack up and leave. Here's the description of the Jewish ritual that begins the Passover festival, written by Aaron Eby. The word translated leaven or leavened bread is the Hebrew word hametz. It does not actually mean leaven or leavening in the sense that we use the word today. Hametz is any grain product in which fermentation has occurred. In ancient times, as well as in bread such as sourdough today, Bread could be leavened just by allowing the dough to sit for a period of time until enough of the yeast in the air works its way into it and begins to ferment the dough. On the night before the Passover Seder, an intentional ritual search of the house is performed. To do this, three items are needed: a candle, a feather or toothbrush, a wooden spoon, and a piece of cloth or a small paper bag. All the lights in the house are turned off and the candle is lit. Since it is a mitzvah to remove the leaven, it is begun with a blessing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the removal of leaven. Every corner of the house is searched by candlelight. When chametz is found, it is swept onto the spoon with the feather and then put in the cloth or bag. The next morning, chametz may no longer be eaten. The cloth bag of chametz, along with the feather and the spoon, are burned outside. Before burning, this declaration is made: all manner of leaven that is in my possession, that which I have seen and that which I have not seen, that which I have removed and that which I have not removed, shall here be annulled and accounted as the dust of the earth. This ritual has been practiced for thousands of years, obviously including the life of Jesus. Everyone was familiar with this process of cleaning and ridding the home of chametz. This is a serious process, as everyone knew the text of Exodus 12:15, which reads, 7 days you shall not eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Now, with the seriousness of this in your mind, imagine with me for a moment what it would have been like to be in the audience when Jesus told this parable. To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. The word hid has never stood out to me in this parable before. Today it does. 3 measures of wheat flour in today's measurements would be around 180 pounds of flour. This isn't just a sprinkling of yeast for one loaf of bread, friends. 180 pounds of flour is a lot. Perhaps a whole year's supply of flour for a village. Do you see how provocative this story is now? What is Jesus doing here? Interestingly, this parable is preceded by another. Just a few sentences before in Luke, it reads, Jesus asked, "What is the realm of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and tossed in the garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." In the parable of the leaven, there is intention. Hiding implies a hands-on approach. It is an active disruption. The baker is hands-on. In the parable of the mustard seed, we have a more inactive or passive action. The verbs in this verse communicate that the seed was tossed or thrown with little interest in tending to and cultivating anything. And despite the little effort, the mustard plant grows big and tall and becomes a home for birds. What is being implied by these two parables being shared side by side? For me, it seems to say that whether it be intentional action or mostly passive work, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, which heralds a new era of lifting up the lowly and lowering the mighty, will happen. And whether it be in the form of prolific mustard plants or leaven working its way through a year's supply of flour, it will quietly disrupt everything we've grown accustomed to. Remember a few weeks ago when I read what the Pharisees said to Jesus after the crowd in Jerusalem was going wild for him? Do you remember what they said? They told Jesus to quiet them down. They told him to quiet down his rowdy followers. And Jesus said, "Even if I tell them to be quiet, the stones will cry out." Maybe sometimes our efforts to bring love, compassion, and justice for the oppressed into the world are met with people telling us to be quiet. They want us to be stones. Trusting once we are stone, we won't be able to speak. Other times, our efforts towards love, justice, and compassion look like we are passively sprinkling those seeds along the way. Little moments of tossing seeds here and there in the hopes they'll reach unreachable and hard places and become places of rest and nourishment, just like the birds in the mustard tree. We do the work not knowing what seeds will take root, but trusting that even if one takes root, it will make a huge impact. And sometimes we must take bold action, discreetly mixing in love, compassion, and justice into something in need of growth and change. All three, stones crying out, mustard seeds being scattered, and leaven being added to flour, they are all purposefully disruptive. Jesus says this is what the kingdom of God is like, and we, regardless of the season of life in which we find ourselves, a stone crying out, a mustard seed sower, a rogue baker, we are contributors and collaborators for the inbreaking of love, justice, and compassion in the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We're really happy that so many of you are finding it to be helpful and as a way to stay connected with what's going on with us here at West Hills Friends. If you'd like to stay connected with us in other ways, we have a couple options for you. You can check out our website. It's westhillsfriends.org. There you'll find some more information about who we are as a community. You can also follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook account by just searching for West Hills Friends. You can also follow us on Instagram. We have a Instagram account with the name West Hills Friends. So we hope that you'll get connected with us in other ways. And again, thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast.